The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
The unexpected to happen in the G20 summit in Buenos Aires, Argentina, U.S. President Donald Trump and Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping have agreed to halt new trade tariffs for 90 days to allow for talks. At a post G20 summit meeting in Buenos Aires, Mr. Trump agreed not to boost tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods from 10 to 25% on January the 1st. He added that China will buy a very substantial amount of agricultural, industrial and energy products. And meanwhile, Beijing said the two sides agreed to open up their markets. And to discuss this, we're joined by Professor Pushan Dutt, a professor of economics and political science of INSEAD. Well, Professor, tell us, did you expect the US and China to reach this truce? Sentiments were largely pessimistic.
I was pessimistic as well, so I did not expect this, especially because Peter Navarro, who is a trade advisor to the administration, was in the meeting, and that made me very nervous. But we should also be a little bit realistic. We should not get our hopes up so fast, so soon. Essentially, this is a pause in the trade war. The core issues are still outstanding, which is about forced technology transfer, IP theft, non-tariff barriers. So all they've done is they've agreed to a ceasefire for about 90 days. Only time will tell whether we are going to actually get back to a semblance of normality.
Yeah, Professor Dutt, you've hit the nail on the head there. If they can't reach an agreement by the end of this period, the 10% tariffs will be raised up to 25%. So what are the main areas that need to be addressed during this period that's creating all this optimism at the moment but could easily change?
So when the trade war started, the Trump administration was essentially focused laser-like on the bilateral trade deficit between the U.S. and China. Now, bilateral trade deficits sort of don't matter. Now, over time, what this has evolved into is these issues about IP protection, the fact that China is subsidizing its high-tech sectors, forcing technology transfers, putting up these non-tariff barriers. So the U.S. recently issued a long list of demands asking for everything from China and actually promising nothing. Now, from the Chinese perspective, this is a maximum list of demands. It comes from the art of the deal by Trump, which is push hard, demand everything, offer nothing. So the Chinese, I don't think, will see this as a serious approach to negotiations. So this core issue still remains unresolved, that China will not abandon its core development strategy, which is the Made in China 2025.
What did Saturday's agreement reveal about Beijing's preparedness to allow international market access to a level that would satisfy the Trump administration?
So I think the Chinese are hoping that they will provide greater access in agriculture, reduce the automobile tariffs, and that will be sufficient to pacify the Trump administration. But I think the time has actually moved on. They are now, as I said, focused on the China 2025 plan. And even if they provide greater market access, and the Chinese have not been very clear about much of the details in how much tariffs and what goods they will reduce. So the core problem, the core nature of their disagreement still persists. So essentially what we have is like an irresistible force, which is China meeting an immovable object. So I think we just postponed the difficult talks for about 90 days.
We're speaking to Professor Pushan Dutt. He is the Professor of Economics and Political Science at INSEAD on the outcome of those discussions at the G20 between the US and China over trade. So let's try and read more into what China's doing and what they're going to say in retaliation to this, because, you know, we saw Trump's tweet, you know, bragging that something great would happen. But how much has China conceded, if anything, in this deal, and what can we read between the lines?
So there is very little clarity, actually. You know, I literally don't know what the Chinese promised, what did they say, and what did Donald Trump hear. This might be just like a game of Chinese whisper, you know, pun intended. So China just said that, you know, they would purchase a substantial amount of farm, energy, and industrial goods. What does substantial mean? China, in its statement, did not mention the 90-day deadline on the negotiations. It did not even say very forcefully that the tariff escalation would return if no agreement was taking place. Trump, in a tweet, claimed that the Chinese would bring down the auto tariffs by about down from 40%. I don't know where he got this number from. So this is not clear. This is just a bare bones agreement, and that's how we should look at it. That this is that they simply talked, and then they said that we will talk further, and there's a temporary pause in the interim.
Mm-hmm. Well, who would you say came out of this as the bigger winner? Is it China, or do you think it's the U.S.?
So a couple of things. So first, only time will tell. Okay. The second and more important thing is that trade wars are neither good nor are they easy to win. So a pause for both the countries is good, not just for China. It's good for the U.S. It's good for the region. It's good for Singapore, even good for the world as a whole. So who came out a winner? I think we all won. But the win is temporary, so time will tell. Now, we should keep in mind that there is something which is called the Thucydides trap, which is that when a rising power meets an established power, conflict is sort of inevitable. Okay, he was a Greek historian who spoke about it. And maybe we are seeing something like that being played up, where China is the rising power and the U.S. is the established power. As long as they fight on trade, I think we are okay. As long as the conflict is on trade, we should be fine. But again, time will tell.
Well, Professor, the rapprochement between the two sides will bring some respite to markets and investors. How do you see markets reacting?
So I think one of the incentives for the two sides to talk was that markets have not been doing very well recently. In fact, most of the gains for 2018 have been wiped out, both in U.S. markets, Asian markets, Chinese markets, worldwide. Today, we see that the markets are doing very well, okay? But we should always be aware that markets are prone to overreaction. They will be likely be over-optimistic in the next few days, but as realization dawns that trade wars are incredibly complex negotiations, it requires patience, which at least the U.S. side does not seem to have on a host of complex, irreconcilable issues, then I would say that they will probably go in that other direction. But, like all mortals, I have no idea what markets will do, except that sometimes they will go up and sometimes they will go down.
Well, Professor Dutt, this is perhaps linked to what you just said, but for the first time since the G20 leaders held their inaugural meeting back in 2008, their communique did not contain a pledge to fight protectionism, which is only understandable. I mean, what does this signal for future direction of trade relations globally with that nationalistic flair, everywhere, it seems?
So as all trade economists will tell you that, liberalizing trade through global trading rules, through multilateral trading rules, through the WTO is actually the preferred way to go. So where every country gives greater market access to all other countries, in a symmetric fashion. Now, Trump has frequently threatened to withdraw from the WTO. This would be extremely damaging, I think. This would be an existential crisis, which would be far more serious than the current bilateral spat that we are seeing between the U.S. and Mexico or the U.S. and China. So the fact that it does not contain a pledge to fight protectionism is actually worrying. It also sort of shows you that countries are becoming exceedingly self-centered, more nationalistic, more protectionist, more mercantilist.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some other key agreements or lack of agreements in this final communique?
So there were some calls to reform the WTO. Again, the G20 this time was extremely thin on detail. So there were some calls to reform the WTO. The WTO has a dispute settlement mechanism, which is actually the most important part of the WTO, because it decides when there is a trade dispute between two countries, like between U.S. and China. So what are the details? Where are they going to go with it? Are they going to strengthen it or weaken it? I don't know. 19 out of the 20 countries reaffirmed the Paris Climate Accord. The U.S. declined as usual. Again, the U.S. was the exception. This, I think, is another very big issue that the world will have to grapple with. As usual, we see that in all of these issues, whether it's trade wars, whether it's climate change, it's the U.S. which is behaving like the prime disruptor, sort of wreaking havoc with global trading rules. So in the end, from the G20, what did we get? We just got a watered-down statement which did not provide any details on trade or any other contentious issues.
We're wrapping up the G20 summit in Argentina with Professor Pushan Dutt, the Professor of Economics and Political Science at INSEAD. Let's talk about another area that was of major interest. We're paying attention to how world leaders would react to Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in the face of the global outcry over the brutal murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Of course, Russian President Vladimir Putin's exuberant greeting went viral. Other than that exchange, was Prince Mohammed persona non grata, would you say, at the summit?
I don't think so. So, you know, just as I mentioned earlier, we are now in a world where this is America first, Italy first, UK first, Russia first. So in such a world, the economic and national interests are take primary importance. So countries are taking this narrow aspect, narrow focus on what is good for me, what is good for my people, for my economy. And such complex and perilous issues like what happened to Jamal Khashoggi are best talked about quietly, and that's what they did. They did speak to Prince Mohammed bin Salman quietly without the kind of exuberance that Vladimir Putin showed. I think Vladimir Putin was also sort of trolling the rest of the world with the greeting that went viral.
Mm-hmm. Well, given the cloud of controversy over the prince, was Saudi Arabia able to broker any deals in Buenos Aires?
This actually I'm not sure about. So because I have not seen anything coming out of Saudi Arabia or from the G20. I was looking from the G20, you know, a stronger commitment to international trade, the global trading order, to the WTO, to the climate accord. But I did not see any of that at the individual country level. I think there is less clarity.
All right. We'd like to thank Professor Pushan Dutt, the Professor of Economics and Political Science at INSEAD, after the wrap-up of a rather bizarre G20 summit at Buenos Aires. Thank you very much, Professor Dutt, for being our guest right here on The Curve.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.